5 smooth stones. I'd like to look at 1 Samuel, 17th chapter. One of the most familiar stories, I suppose, in the Bible, the story of David and Goliath. It's been used, I still hear it used just in the secular world, when something small or someone small goes up against someone large, or an underdog goes up against a better team or something like that. You still hear the analogy, the idea of David and Goliath. The one that don't have a chance, too small, too insignificant, going up against a giant, one capable or two really big, and you hear that. I've heard many messages, and no doubt probably preached them myself, about the idea of facing the battle in the name of the Lord. The battle's not mine, but it's the Lord's. You hear those kind of messages quite a bit. I wonder if you've ever heard about the 5 smooth stones. Well, I've never thought about it before, but I think there's something in it for us. Let's look at the scriptures a little bit. We know the story. We know the setting. I like to think of David minding his own business. He's out doing what he does. He's out in the field taking care of his father's sheep. He's not intended on trouble. He's not chasing excitement, not trying to get something going. He's just out there doing what he's doing. And, you know, Lord help us, none of us know what tomorrow brings. You don't know what you'll face tomorrow or what circumstances might bring or changes might come. None of us really know. I got to visit Sister Forbes the other day, and I said to her, we never know, do we, what might face in our life. And she said, we surely don't know what we might face before we leave this world. None of us do. We don't know what the changes might be in a very short time. But David's out and tending the father's sheep. And his dad, Jesse, comes and says, David, I got an errand for you. And he didn't have nothing more in mind than that either, I don't think. I just want you to go see how the battle fares. Jesse wasn't thinking of no lifelong changing things for David or anything else. He just simply wanted him to go up there. Whether that's the province of God, I like to think it was. God's in all those kind of things, and God manipulated, maneuvered things around, send David up there to the battle. And we all know the story. He goes up and he gets up there, and while he's up there to do what his dad said to do, well, then out comes the giant. Comes out and makes his claim, stirs David's heart up. David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. He loved the things of God. He wanted to see him prosper. He believed in him. He was just naive enough, I guess, to believe the whole stories of Moses and of Joshua and of Gideon and of all of those things, and probably stirred his heart and all those things, and probably believed them, and he couldn't hardly fathom the idea of a giant coming out there and running God down and the armies of Israel down. And who is this that's supposed, and nobody's supposed to be able to do that. And so he steps up to the plate and says, I'll go do it. Because I'll do it because God's been with me. God's been with me. And there was a time when I was out in the field and thinking about the Lord maybe or whatever, and I had a duty on me. And a lion came and tried to steal some lambs, and I smote him, and a bear come, and I smote him too. And God gave me the strength and the ability and the power to be able to do it. And I was overcome these vicious creatures. I'm just a little fella. Nothing important, but God gave me the know-how, the ability, the strength to be able to knock them down. And I knocked them down. And now I'm up here, and here's the situation, and God's got me here, and now I'm going to go do it too. Well, you know the story. Saul, King Saul, heard that and said, he was inspired by it and said, I believe that's good. Sounds to me like this might work, this is a thing. And he gets his armor and says, you're going to have to fight. And he brings the armor and gives him his armor and puts the armor on and puts it on him. And my mind, it's way too big for him. Saul was a big man and David wasn't. And in my mind, it kind of hang on him. You ever see a big coat on a little boy? That kind of a thing. He kind of looked there, kind of down and David takes it off. Takes it off and said, you know, there's nothing wrong with the armor. There wasn't nothing wrong with armor. David wasn't saying it was bad to use armor or it was against God or none of those things. He simply said, armor's not what God taught me. I don't know anything about armor. I've never wore armor. I didn't have armor on when I killed the bear. I didn't have armor on when I killed the lion. I don't even know how to use armor. God puts us, everyone, in different places. There was men that knew how to use armor and could wear armor and pack armor, but David wasn't in that kind of a place. God's got a place for each and every one of us. And He makes that work for each and every one of us, teaching us how to do things and what to do. When God's a personal God. God wants us to follow Him in the place that He puts us. And David, when he faced that, said, I can't use this. I've not proved it. Don't even know how to use it. But I'll use what I've got. It says in David 39th verse, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I can not go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. Now here's the picture. Here goes David, no armor. He has a sling in his hand. And he stopped at the brook. And he, I believe I see the picture plainly. I've chucked a lot of rocks in my days. It was a favorite pastime of mine growing up where I did in the country. Chucking rocks was just, you just grew up having a good strong arm because you grew up chucking rocks. My dad would say, "We want the rocks out of the garden." We'd set up a target, and we would stand and chuck them out. We would throw. If something run or moved that we couldn't catch, the best alternative was to chuck a rock at it. We would throw rocks at things. If we wanted to bring a bird down, we'd throw a rock at it. That was the favorite weapon of choice when I was growing up, throwing a rock. And I think I understand what the principle and the idea here is because he went to the brook. And he chose him 5 smooth stones. You think in the whole scenario, there is a story that develops here, and the end of this story is victory. David overcomes a giant. Okay? But a part of the story is 5 smooth stones. That's part of this story. I don't know if you've ever thought about how it plays into the story, but it plays into the story. David stops at the brook and chooses. I think I know what he got. They wasn't this big around. They wasn't that big around. He chose them by the skill that he had. He done it by the experience of his life. They probably all 5 was very near the same shape and size. They were all smooth for a reason. They were aerodynamic. Now, when you want to throw a rock that you can get the right twist on it, you want it to be flat and smooth because it'll cut through the air. And you got the right kind of aim on it, that thing can really get with it. But if you can't get the right spin on it, it would just flop over itself and it wouldn't go anywhere. So you wouldn't want that for a sling. What you want for a sling is a good, round, heavy, smooth stone that would come out of the pouch nice and even and slick. It wouldn't catch on a corner. It wouldn't go flipping in the air catching. It's going to be aerodynamic. And all of this, and then you say, well, what's important? You know that was important in this? Folks, God didn't even need David to kill a giant. God didn't need David. God didn't need King Saul or an army. God didn't need any of those things. God has in His arsenal lightning. He has storms of all kinds. He's got all kind of creatures, all kind of things. He not only, the Bible declares that our breath's in His hand. Goliath's breath was in His hands. The very life that he had was given to God. God didn't need David to kill a giant. And he didn't need any of those other things if he wanted to get rid of the giant. God don't work that way. There's a lot of preaching about, we understand that I come in the name of the Lord. Well, what did you come with in the name of the Lord? David here is giving his all. He's giving what he learned. He's giving all this. And listen, he picked five smooth stones. I don't pretend to know what five means here. It may have been, Brother Philip says that it was because Goliath had four brothers. Well, figure I'll just pick up a stone for each one of them. Well, that could be. I can't argue that it wasn't because I really don't know what it is. But I could also assume that that's all the room he had in his pouch. But this is what I really do believe. You say, well, if he had a lot of faith, he'd have just took one stone. No, what he had was understanding. He had an experience, is what he had. And if I was going to go fight a giant, I'd put more than one stone in my arsenal too. When I go hunting, I take more than one bullet. Well, I like to think I can hit what I'm shooting at. But there have been times I've missed. And if I would happen to miss, I'll get another one. Do you know that the likelihood that David was a very good rock thrower is evident here? We say, well, no, God just directed the stone. He could have got any kind of stone. He could have got a flat stone, a rigid stone, any kind of stone. No, he couldn't have. He come with his experience. He gave his experience to the Lord. This is very important because we'll get the idea that God's going to do everything and we don't do anything. That's not true. Well, God, you're God, so you saved my family. Hold on a minute. Have you picked up your stones? You got, what are you throwing at? What have you brought? Did you bring anything to service with you tonight? Are you going to throw a stone tonight? Hopefully, we all got something to put into this. David gave his all. He gave his best. I know how to sling a stone. God taught me. I know how to do it. I've got good coordination. I've thrown this thing many times. I can hit the target. You know, the Scripture says that there was 1,000 left-handed men that could throw a rock at a hair's breadth and not miss. That's impressive. Because a hair's width ain't very big. And it said they didn't miss. David was one of those guys that had skill, and he gave the skill to the Lord, and he went down there and he picked up five smooth stones because he's going to kill a giant. And you can say, well, God was going to make sure it happened. God uses what we give Him. God used a guy that could throw a stone. God used David. He didn't use the armor. He hadn't used it. But what he had, he gave to the fullest extent. Yeah, I know why he picked up five stones. I might just wound him with the first one. But brother, you can know this. There's going to be five coming at him fast and hard if I got anything to do with it. I'm going to make sure, I'm going to give my all to this. Lord, you help me in this and we'll do this. But Lord, help me. You know we've got to give something. Now, when I was a youngster, I liked throwing rocks. I got in trouble more for throwing rocks than anything else I got in trouble for. And I got in trouble for things, but I got in trouble a lot for chucking rocks. Well, I had a sling one day, and I like I said, I was a youngster, and I was down in front of my house, and the way where we lived was up on the bank, and there was a Route 2 was below us, and over across the little bit of a bottom, there was Holly River, and then there was a field beyond that. Well, I get me a rock in my sling and wind that thing up, and I was going to see how if I could throw it across the river into the field and wind it up and gave it a good heave and let it go, and was looking for it to go. I didn't see it. Just now behind me, I heard a crash. I put that rock right through our front door window. Mom's sitting in the living room there, and just now here comes a rock bouncing through the living room and glass shattering all over the place. My dad actually had replaced that window twice because of it was thin and it was break. So he went and got this extra thick glass to put in there. And he was really proud. He said, when that got through with that, and he said, that one won't break. Well, he hadn't had it in there very long before I chucked that rock through it. Things wasn't looking up that day. It was a bad day. Well, I want to tell you what the truth of it is. This is the truth. I wasn't skilled at throwing stones with sling, obviously. But it was important that David was. Could you imagine? David, what do you got? Got a sling. You know how to throw rocks at that thing? Not really. What difference does it make? God's on my side. Got to go down. What kind of stones you getting there? What difference does it make? Why? What difference does it make? God's on my side. They'll fly just as straight. Get down there and whirl up one and throw it at the giant and you take the king in the head back behind you. Hit Saul with one. Well, missed that one. Fly it and throw another one. Well, on that one you take you guy over to the side. Well, fire another one. You know, we give what we got to the Lord. You know what? I mean, we can do the same thing. I'm going to go testify. Now, Lord, help us. Testifying's good. I'm going to handle the Word of God a little bit. I'm going to go. I'm going to try to hit the devil right between the eyes. I wind up and I get the pastor on that one. Woo, I'm going to throw another one. I get Sister Tammy on that one. I'm going to throw another one. I'm going to do this. You know what? The Lord wants to teach us something. The Lord wants us to be schooled in being able to discern the difference between right and wrong. The Lord wants us to have understanding about how to serve the Lord. And it's what He teaches us. It's what He wants us to do. David had an understanding. I need smooth stones. I'm going to fight something. I want them to fly through. I want them to throw them. I want to throw them straight at something. I'm going to hit something with it. I used to always say that He throwed it and God made it go. I back up on that because it says in the Scriptures that He stopped and got five smooth stones. He didn't rely all on what God was going to do, but what God had already done. God taught him how, gave him a skill of delivering a stone where he could hit it at. Now God was going to have to calm his nerves, going to have to help him through it, do all those things which God did. I imagine facing a giant would be different than throwing at a target. I know this from experience, just from deer hunting. You can hit a target when you can't hit a deer, isn't that right, Brother Flynn? The buck acres comes and the nerves comes and you start shooting, and if you ain't careful, you'll shoot the tops out of the trees when it comes. You've got to be settled down. You can have the skill, but you still need that. But David knew he needed five smooth stones. He knew that he needed something that's going to come out of that path, and he gave that to the Lord. Folks, you and I have more to do with this than you would believe. You have more in this than you know. The outcome of the battles is more in your hands than you think it is. You say, well, God will do what God will do. Is that true? Because the Scripture says that there was a man who had like passion, just like you and I. And it said that he prayed, earnestly he prayed, that it rain not upon the earth. And it didn't for 3.5 years. I have to say that if he hadn't prayed, it would have went on raining. That's the way it reads. He had something to do with it. He changed the course of things. You have people that you care for and want to be saved, don't leave it. Don't, folks, you're going to have to go get your five smooth stones. You're going to have to learn what works. How can I best touch their lives? What can I do to best present the gospel to them? You can't just go throwing rocks of any kind. You're going to hit things and tear things up. You're going to hurt things. But God works through experiences. If it's not true, why did He tell us that a pastor shouldn't be a novice? Well, if God's Spirit's all that matters, then anybody could do it. We can have the children. Why not have the children be pastors? Well, if it's all God, the argument's poor. God wants us to be grown up, knowing good from... You mean that matters? Of course it does. Of course it does. You've got to learn the trade. You've got to learn the skills.
You gotta be able to come with something. There was a woman in the Bible, and the prophet goes to her, and she's, "What are you doing?"
I got a little bit of meal in a barrel, and I got a little bit of oil in a cruse. And I'm fixing the last of the last, right down to the last. I'm going to go get me a couple sticks, and I'm going to make a fire, and I'm going to make a cake, and me and my son's going to eat this cake, and then we're going to sit here and die. Because we're out, that's it. And the man of God said, make a cake for a man of God first. Does God need that to start with? The precedent of the Bible is that that's what He does. He didn't make it out of nothing. He used what she gave. She didn't have much. You don't have to have much. You can be a David with just a sling and 5 stones that you pick and you use and God blesses. You can be the widow woman with a little bit of meal in the barrel. But I don't read where there's nothing. It seems like God always uses something. You have a part. This is what's represented. You have a part of something to give. A part in it. God wants us to have a passion and a part in it. And give our best of our expertise and what we've learned. And you know what? I've had those kind of places in my life. I want to use them well. I've had some experiences that not everybody's had. And I've had some experiences to where there's been people come to me because I had the experience of it. Lord, teach me. Most of you know, I had a wife that died. Not everybody goes through that experience. I have the experience of what I felt. I had the experience of what I dealt with God about it. I had experience on getting victory in places and those kind of things. And I've had people come to me and say, "Brother Marty, how did it go? What did it want?" And I was able to say, "Brother, I know what you feel. You felt this, didn't you?" "Yeah. How did you know?" "Well, I know why I done that. I know how to do it. And I went and now I can go to the brook and pick up the stones. Now I know where to throw and hit. I know where to touch that at. I know what it takes." You know, everyone in here, I know God can do anything. I'm not diminishing that. God can do anything. But will He? Will He do it if you don't really have a care for it? Will He really do it if you don't give your all to it? God was looking down on David, and David gave his all for it. He gave his passion, he gave his all, and he gave what God had gave him experience to do. "I know with this swing. I've thrown these stones before. I know what God can help me to do with this. I know what He's taught me. I know what He..." You know, everything God does in our lives is that way. It's God. Use what God does. "I know I got some discernment here. I know how to bless the congregation here. I know that the songs are ready here. I know how to work this situation." You know, we have a certain way of worship service. Good stirring. Message go forth. A good fire and brimstone. You're going to hell if you don't straighten up tight message and it really goes through. Don't up and call what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, you can have the best desire you want to, but there's knowing how to throw the stone. There's some things that work, folks. There's things that work. 409 is a good one, but don't call some happy melody. Or praise it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, God works, but He also works through us. And you can't assume that God's going to do everything. He's going to work with what He does in our hearts and lives. If you want the people around you saved, learn by the Lord how to work with them. Learn how to throw the stones straight. Learn to hit the mark. Lord, help us. Because God doesn't do it all. And you and I have more to do with this than you know. You have more to do with your children's future than you know. Lord, help us. He gave us the time. He gave us that. What are we going to do? You're going to learn how to do it. and that you're going to give it. And you know what? Every one of us, you're going to face giants in your life. Every one of us is going to face things that's bigger than we are. Have you faced any yet? Sir? What worked? What worked? It'll work again. Brother, what worked for you? I need to hear it. Throw your stone. I want to hear. I want to hear how you took the giant down in your life, because there's one around the corner for me too. Possibly the same one you faced. How did you deal with that situation where you thought you was going to die? Or you had somebody. How did you deal with that thing? Well, this is what the Lord helped me with. Throw your stone straight. And the Lord works with people. Well, we know the story. I'm assuming, unless there's a better answer, it said that he had a scrip, which is a small purse. It probably was big enough for 5 smooth stones. That's probably what it was big enough for. And if I could have got another one in, I would. I'm going to take my ultimate firepower here. And if I don't get a clear shot at his head, I'm going to take a kneecap out. And when he hits the ground on that and he shows me the elbow, I'm going to break an elbow. But he's going down. I know how this is what's I don't know how God's going to work this whole thing out, but I'm going to give it my ultimate effort here on the way to do it. And when one stone was enough, that's all right. There's all right to have 4 left over for the next battle. But I need to give what I have to the Lord. In everything that I understand and do, give it to the Lord. Lord, you help me to know how to write a note. You know, God can inspire your writings. I mean, I've wrote things before, and I ain't a writer. But I've wrote things before, and the Lord to do that, and it hit the mark. It hit the mark. Know how to say something to somebody to encourage them, and the Lord help to hit the mark. You say, well, Lord, just encourage them, because I don't know what to say. You're underestimating yourself. They go away not being encouraged because there's nobody there to say, do you mean God needs a human voice? What are you listening to now? Do we really believe that? Well, let's just all come here and sit and wait for the Spirit to touch each one of us, and we'll go out all saying, oh boy, the Lord was good. It don't work that way. Somebody's going to have to give something. Somebody's going to have to give some understanding and the way to do it. And there's a reason why the Lord said not to be novice, because there's going to be some experience that has to be there. Going to have to deal with some spirit sometime. Going to have to deal with some deliverance at altars. Going to have to deal with people sometimes on how they deal in life and stuff. And sometimes the answer to that is people that's lived it, been there, fought the battles, know how to do it. Well, it's more than the Spirit then. It's our experience of life that we give. Every one of us here, in a kind of figurative sense, needs to pick up the stones out of the brook of the understandings we have of how to do it and use them. We come together in prayer meeting services for a reason. I mean, it is for a reason. Because I can stay at the house. There's a reason we do it. That we could feed off one another. Right? That if you... I'll say this. I appreciate it. If you see the enemy sneaking up on me and you throw a rock at him, I'd appreciate you being a good shot. Because a lot of times, folks, and this is just the truth, we just do a lot of collateral damage with our rock throwing. We just throw anything, pick off anything, just throw anything without point or purpose, and talk and talk and talk and do this and that, and it's never a benefit. Lord, help us to be able to learn what God has for us. In this story, I'll just pick it up. The 49th verse, we know the story. It said, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang. And you know what? The stone he put in there was put in there for a reason. This one's going to fly true. This is a stone that's going to come out of here just the way they always have before. This one's going to be one that's going to be a true. Any of the 5 will work, because he was chosen by experience of how to do it. I believe God was with him, but I believe that he gave him the expertise of rock throwing. And how to choose a rock
And then He made him to have a steady hand and a true aim. And He gave it all come together. And He got the giant between the eyes. And down goes Goliath. And thus, the little one with God that trusted in God overcome incredible odds. But he had a part in it. He had a great part in it. He had to give for it. You and I face the same things. We want to be successful. The trick of it is that we give our all to the Lord. Over in... I want to mention another one, but I want to look at a story in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. But there was another story that I'm thinking about. Was the story of Esther. You remember the story of Esther? Wicked Haman had the king to make a decree against the Jews. And Esther had become queen. She was beautiful. God made her to be that way. And God established a certain order and put Esther in that order. So God was working. And He put Esther in a certain order that she become queen. And not only queen, but she was very favored by the king. And then there come a time, of course, Haman didn't know that the queen was a Jew, and so made a decree against Mordecai, her uncle or relative or whatever, and made to get rid of him because of his envy and jealousy there, and so his pride. And so Esther comes to a place that now the Jews are going to be destroyed, and now Uncle Mordecai says to Esther, "Esther, you need to go before the king and make a petition about this." And she says, "Ooh, I that stuff, because if you approach the king, here's the rules: if you approach the king and he don't find favor in you, it's death to you." So the word comes back, and Mordecai says, "Go tell Esther, Esther, come." And Esther comes. Listen, Esther. Could be that God has brought thee to this time. Did she have to do anything? Did Esther have to do it? You don't have to. You don't have to, Esther. Pure choice. God's a faithful God. And I believe God's going to do something here. You want to be a part of it? You got more in it, Esther, than you could believe. God has brought you to this place. This is why you were born beautiful. This is why you were chosen of the king and favored. Use that moment that God brought you to. Go pick, Esther, pick your stones up. You know how to charm the king. You know how to do it. You know what her stones were? She made him a banquet. Now, you can get the most guys through their stomachs. If you want to get a guy, get some food involved. Most guys at some point or other is going to, "All right. You're going to right now. You think she put the worst clothes on? She kind of humbled herself. Sackcloth and ashes, right? Put some ashes on her head and went in before the king, some dust under her face and all that kind of stuff." Uh-uh. Esther's stones wasn't like that. Esther went in and done it up. She was looking good when she went in there. She was looking good and she was going to feed him. And she didn't, once wasn't enough. She done it again. And she got to the place that she had to, "Esther, I'll give you, what do you want, babe? I'll give you half the kingdom. I mean, you got me here." You know, honestly, she had a part in what God was doing and she used what she had. And God didn't start with nothing. Every time I read in the Scripture, I've always pondered this: "Lord, I know it ain't right for me to go by my own understanding. I know I can't go by the way I think and all these things. But Lord, where's the line of this?" Because everywhere I read in the Scripture, you use people. You use their understanding. You use their wisdom. You use where they're at in you. All the way through. Everywhere you read in the Scripture,
they had a part in what God done. And we have a part in the salvation of souls. You think prayer means anything? Well, God just will do His will. That's not the way the Scripture reads. The Scripture reads that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can change the is it possible that you could get so earnest about prayer that you could cause God to move on His throne and heal somebody? Is it possible that you could get so earnest to God that He would put a different leader in? Maybe a different mayor? Maybe a different representative? Maybe a governor? Maybe a president? You may have more involved in this than you ever would realize or know. If we got earnest before the Lord, could a revival break out? Could the devil be beat? Could people get deliverance that would otherwise not have got it? Can you hit the giant right between the eyes? Can you cause the enemy to flee? It looked hopeless to Israel there. There was nothing they could do. They had a champion. They had a force. There was nothing. They were just withering back. And along come one little ruddy boy with five smooth stones that changed the history of Israel. Lord, help us. Esther went before the king and changed the whole history, the whole outcome. And boy, did Haman get changed around real quick. He thought he was somebody that was really right up there, built him a gallows, and was ready to take care of his enemy and all that. And it all fell against him, and all because Esther used what she had. And God blessed it and turned it around. And then the king says, what they building up there? The guy comes in and says, Haman, your gallows is right at the wrong time. Nope, right at the right time, Esther. You've done it right. You gave what you had. Scripture over in 2 Kings 13. 13th chapter of 2 Kings. Fourteenth verse. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground, and he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and said, thou should have smitten five or six times, then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. He said in one verse that this was the arrow of deliverance, that you would consume them. If. Now, he didn't say that, but here you go. If you got a heart for it. This is what you have available. This is the furthest extent God's willing to go. But He's not going to go any farther than you're willing to go. In the prophet's analogy here, he should have been zealous, passionate, fervent. We will defeat them. We will defeat them. God has promised. Okay. I hit this ground a couple times. And the prophet said, what are you doing?
You could have completely consumed them. You could have won totally. God has it in His heart and mind to do it. Could God not have consumed Syria? Did He need Joash? Did He need a prophet? He didn't need any of those things. Well, Lord, have Your way and do Your will in this world. No, brother. What are you going to do? Because God's going to be with you. And you got a limited passion, you'll get a limited passion. You want a giant to rule your life? You'll have giants running in your life. When it comes time that you do battle, and you don't go get your five stones with your passion and your expertise that you learned from the Lord, Lord, help us to know how to fight the giants of 2018. There's an awful world out there. Lord, help us to know how to smite down the enemies that come against us. Huge things against us. Great entertainment world that pulls people. This is a unique time that we're in now. Lord, help us to know how to do battle and win against the giants, the internets, and all the technology. It's not wrong in itself, but there's giants lurking in it. Lord, help us to know how to fight. Lord, help us to know how I won the battles with it and what to do with it. You can do whatever, you say whatever, but I'm going to tell you, God's going to work with each individual and what we give to it. And if you haphazardly, just lethargically, don't really care. Yeah, give me the arrows off. Whatever. Lord's in control. Lord's in control. Lord, help us. Well, it's one thing to have faith in God. It's also another thing to understand that we're not to be novice. We're to be schooled on war. We're to be schooled on where the devil's at and what he's doing. Schooled to be able to throw right down this line, ministers. We're going to have to be able to divide things. Sometimes we're going to have to throw some stones so perfectly that we miss our people and get the devil where he's at. If you're not careful, you start throwing stones around. Oh, we don't need any unwise ministers. Lord, help me. I'll say it from the start. We don't need nothing just off the cuff. I'm just going to throw a stone and see where it lands. Rip it right through you all. Everybody end up bloody down through there. Fire another one and break the glasses and break the... Lord, help us. We're going to have to be skilled in how to working with souls. Being able to encourage and yet be firm. Be able to say no, but yet loving. Lord, help us. There's a trick to it. But David had it. He knew how to throw a stone. He knew how to choose them. This isn't going to go straight. That's what we need to have in our own lives. So the king here had victory, total victory at his hands. And he squandered it away by not having the desire and the passion to be able to really do it. You should have smote it five or six times. You should have passionately done it. And the Lord would have gave deliverance. But the Lord's not going to give you one strike more than you strike with. We want total victory in our lives. We want to be able to gain those kind of victories. Lord, help us. It's there before us. But God ain't going to work beyond us. God will work with us. Lord, give us strength, power, victory. If this isn't a humanistic message, folks, there's nothing we can do without the Lord. But He'll meet us at our passion. He'll meet us at the skills He's willing to give us. He'll train us up. He'll give us to us. It's through the Scriptures. Everywhere through the Scriptures. That's the way that it works. Do you realize that the Apostle Paul, by the accounts of the Scripture, Apostle Paul was met on the road of Damascus and was met with a great life and had a great experience? But he didn't start his ministry right off, did he? Why? He had the Holy Ghost. I mean, go and do it. No. Paul, learn how to throw your stones right. Learn how to do it. You're going to have to take some time. It took him about 3 years to get there. Because he needed to learn and understand some things. Can't go off this half-cocked, just throwing things out there. Going to have something, Lord. We need to teach us the same thing. Are you willing? Are you willing tonight to give what you have to the Lord? We know these Scriptures, but there was a Scripture where the Lord said to His disciples, been all day. The people been out here all day. And they
I think the disciples actually said to the Lord, "Lord, they've been out here all day. And they're hungry. You need to send them away so they can get them something to eat." And Jesus said, "Feed them." Well, I feed them? What am I going to feed them with? Well, it'll take a fortune to buy enough food to feed this many people. He said, "Well, what do you got?" There's a young lad here, got a couple of fish and a little bit of bread. Did God really need a couple fish and some bread? He created the universe. I guess He could have popped the fish out of there. Well, I mean, did He have to have that? I mean, think about it. Why is He working this way? Because you got to have something. I want you to have something. What do you got? This is all we got. That's all you got? It's enough. You don't have to be super intelligent. You got intelligence. You know where that intelligence belongs? Committed to God. He'll use it. It ain't wrong to be intelligent. I wish I was. It ain't wrong to have things. I wish we did. But God don't need all that either. But He needs what we got. He's the man. Lord, bring it to. Bring the fish. As He brought the fish, and God was able to take a little bit of fish, but I argue again, He didn't start with nothing. I read it all the way through the Scriptures. The God worked with people with what they had and what they was willing to give to it. It wasn't the amount they had. It was their willingness to give it. And He said it another time. "Look," He said, "I want you to take note. See this widow woman? She gave more than them all." He didn't point at somebody that didn't give anything. Instead, their heart. I want you to know what their heart is. I can see their heart. They didn't give it. He didn't do it. He said, she had a little and she gave it. 5 smooth stones represents to me what we bring to the Lord, what we're willing to give of what we've learned and what we're willing to do. Lord, teach me to have some understanding. You can't get this understanding unless you're in the way of the Lord. What I'm talking about isn't being in the way of the Lord. David knew how to fight Goliath because he was trained to fight. He had won the victories over a lion and over a bear, and he was in the Lord's will, and he had won that, and he knew what to do in that situation, and the Lord sent him in there against all odds with what he knew. And God gave him the victory through 5 smooth stones. We can have the victory tonight through what we give to the Lord. But I want to challenge you. You got to bring it to the Lord. Give what you got to the Lord. Amen.